So today we'll do Sankhya. Something was just left over yesterday about refutation of Buddha and Jaina. We'll not keep it for now in the morning session. We'll do in due course because that's an important part. Buddha and Jaina, they're very popular in India and around the world. So some aspect of Buddha and Jaina has to be known. And how to refute them has to be known. So that we will not keep it now because it will confuse with Sankhya. Now today we will be doing Sankhya. Before we do that, have a small recap of what we did yesterday. Yesterday we did Nyaya and Vaisheshika together. As we told, Nyaya Vaisheshika, they say atoms are the source of everything. They depend too much on logic. That is why Vyasa says, atyanta parigrahat. You should give them up. And also Lord Ramachandra said, you will not get mercy if you follow Gautama's logic because they don't accept time as my energy. And the arguments go to such an extent, it depends more on intelligence rather than my mercy. So they will be dependent on their intelligence. So they don't want my mercy, so why should give? Manu says they should be excommunicated because they create a disturbance in the society because of dry logic in argument. And Krishna says, just by my sight, these people will become jackals. Because jackals, they are interested in rotten things, rotten flesh. So these Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they are interested in that. Because... And now, yesterday also we discussed this point that Nyaya or logic in itself is not atheistic. Logic is there like a current in the Vedas. We got these points yesterday. And we found that how logic, Vyasa, Srila Prabhupada, they all use logic to defeat the other philosophies. So, logic is not in itself atheistic, but when we use logic for the process of self-realization, that is a problem. And we also learned about the distinction between Nyaya and Vaisheshika. Nyayas and Vaisheshikas, they differ in only a couple of points. Nyaya says, perception is everything. And Vaisheshikas, they say, Anuman is everything. Even Shabda has to be understood according to Anuman. As Nyaya says, even Shabda has to be understood according to Pratyaksha. These are these problems with these Nyaya and Vaisheshikas. Nyaya elaborately discusses about Pramana and Vaisheshika elaborately discusses about Prameya. Yesterday we learned what is Pramana, what is Prameya. Pramana means epistemology, the theory of knowledge, and Prameya means the object of knowledge, the thing which you want to know, that is known as Prameya. So they are wonderful work done by Nyaya Vaisheshikas in one sense that they are given logic to us. If somebody uses their logic to establish Krishna consciousness, there is nothing wrong in that. Srila Prabhupada used. Actually, Prabhupada used more logical items of Nigrahasthan. Yesterday, we understood something about Nigrahasthan. I told the story of that car race driver who was Prabhupada gossiped with him a lot. And all of a sudden, he just put a hammer and then talked about God. So, there are 22 aspects of Nigrahasthan spoken in Nyaya philosophy, but Srila Prabhupada used more than 50 to 60 of them. He is the greatest logician whom the world has ever seen till date. Because most of the previous acharyas, even in Vaishnava Sampradaya, including Madhva and Jayatirtha, Vadisimha and Vadiraja, he is known as Vadiraja. One of the acharyas in the Madhva Sampradaya is known as Vadiraja. They were only defeating the six systems of philosophy. They were only defeating maximum something Buddha and Jaina. But Prabhupada defeated all the offshoots from these. All the offshoots to such an extent that he defeated even the Buddhists who are not even recognized by the original Buddhistic branch. So he went to Russia, communism. Communism is also a philosophy originating from Nyaya. but very tamasic kind of jnana. So he faced these people, communists, and then he... So Prabhupada, he, in his books, he in one sense destroyed the organized nonsense, that is six systems of philosophy. In his lectures and in conversations, he destroys the unorganized nonsense. So, whatever you find in this world, apart from the Vaishnava philosophy, is nonsense. So, all these points we understood yesterday. And we went to some intricacies of Nyaya and Vaisheshika and saw that how they are refuted by Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutras, by Baladeva Vidyabhushan Prabhu. Taking that how these Arambhavadis, in philosophical terminology, these Nyaya and Vaisheshikas, they are known as Arambhavadi. Arambhavadi means those who say there is a beginning for everything and there is an end for everything. There was nothing before the beginning and there will be nothing after the end. That is why they are known as Arambha. Arambha means beginning. So Buddhists, they are akin to Nyaya Vaisheshikas because Buddhists are also Arambhavadis. That is why we say Buddhism is Shunyavad. Why we say Shunyavad? Because according to Buddhism, everything has a beginning. Before that beginning, there was nothing. Like in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Ahameva Sameva Gre Nanyat Sadasatparam Tasmadaham Sovashisheta Sahasmyam Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Chatushloki Bhagavatam is very famous among devotees. Chatushloki Bhagavadita, Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Devotees memorize these verses. She says, Ahameva Sameva Gre. I was the only person in the beginning. There was nothing else. So, we are not Arambhavadis. We don't accept this theory of Arambhavada. But Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they are Arambhavadis. So, these points we discussed. And also, these Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they are also known as Asatkaryavada. Asatkaryavada means effect does not exist in the cause. Effect does not exist in the cause prior to its manifestation. That's known as Asatkaryavada. And they give the example of dog and bark. See, the examples also they give like that. Dog and bark. Like, the dog is barking. You cannot say, because the dog is barking, the dog is made up of barks. So in this way, they are known as Asatkaryavada. They say, the formless atom is the cause of the form world. World which has got form, which has got beautiful taste and different qualities. Now, Shripad Madhvacharya, yesterday we discussed how he just took one point, that's all, not much. He told, if that is the case, if the original seed of this world, atom, it doesn't have form, and if it is giving to form, then if there is nothingness, should give to a there is nothing that should give to all these things which is in this world. Unreal thing will give rise to real thing. It cannot be, it is not logical. So, we stopped about them yesterday and also we discussed one verse yesterday, very important verse in Vedanta Sutras, commentary of the Vedanta Sutra given Baladeva Vidyavasan Prabhu, where he says that Krishna Krida, for the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Krida, what Vyasa did, he made the entire world a stage, a clean stage. Before Vyasa appeared, this world was full of thorns, kantakan. What did Vyasa do? Chitva. He made the entire thorns, he just scrapped them, he made polished them, made a nice wonderful place. Where? Krishna Krida Vidadhat. For Krishna can come and do his pastimes. Now, when Vyasa wrote the Vedanta Sutras, and he was writing the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna had already unmanifested himself. Then which Krishna is talking about? Vyasa is talking about the Krishna who is going to come as Chaitanya. So Vyasa's Vedanta Sutras, purpose of writing Vedanta Sutra by Vyasa, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to come and explain it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had discussion with Sarvamatachari and Prakashan Saraswati, and he explained. So that is the purpose of Vyasa writing this Vedanta Sutra. So that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can clearly explain these things and the whole world, the clear Vedanta philosophy can be established. The Bhakti Vedanta can be established. Okay, now we'll start our Sankhya. Sankhya was established by Kapila as Nyaya by Gautama and Vaisheshika by Kanada. Sankhya established by Kapila. Now we are very much conversant with Sankhya, this term. Nyaya and Vaisheshika we are not so conversant in our books. Prabhupada mentioned this word Sankhya many places. And he spoke about two kinds of Kapilas. So he has spoken about two kinds of Kapilas at many, many places. But along with the philosophy of two kinds of Kapila and their understanding in a very summarized way, Prabhupada presents in this particular verse. Second chapter, 39th verse. So let's see what is this verse. Yeshate abhihita sankhe buddhi yogottimam shuno buddhya yuktaye aparta karma bandham prayasyasi. Now we know, though you have done Bhakti Shastri, there are different sections in the Bhagavad Gita. In the first, second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a section Arjuna's further confusions till the 10th verse, the last confusion of Arjuna, which is springing out of mode of ignorance, and that is confusion. And then Arjuna surrendered to Krishna. These are the subject matter of the first 10 verses. And then Krishna, he starts speaking about the soul and the body. From the 11th verse till the 30th verse, Krishna talks about the soul and the body, isn't it? And then from there, Krishna, he talks about the why you should fight, Arjuna. Giving the second reason. He says, from 31st verse till 37th verse, he gives a reason, the Karmakanda reason. Famous Karmakanda reason. You go to Swarga if you die. If you don't die, you will rule the kingdom. And if you don't fight, you will neither be happy in this world or in the next world. If you fight, if you win the war, you will be happy, you will enjoy. Enjoyment he gave, the reason for enjoyment. And 38th verse, Krishna gives the real reason why you should fight, my dear Arjuna. The transcendental reason. Tato yuddha yuddhasva nainam papyamavsasi. While answering the reason of sin, he says, nainam papyamavsasi, my dear Arjuna, you will not be afflicted by sin if you just fight for me. Fight for the sake of fighting because I am telling you to fight. And now he says, Yeshate abhita sankhe. This is 39th verse. Till now, my dear Arjuna, I have explained to you what is Sankhya. Now, I am going to explain to you Buddhi Yoga. So, taking this word Sankhya, Srila Prabhupada gives a very exhaustive and a very wonderful purport. We don't have to read any other purport, any other thing about Sankhya if somebody can understand this purport. Very, very powerful, very unique. And as it was my study when I was preparing for my first Bhakti Shastri classes when I used to do in Jew, I used to do a simultaneous study of Srila Vaishnava Thakura commentary, Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, Ramanuja, Madhva, and keeping Srila Prabhupada book in the center. I found none of the acharyas given such a commentary to this particular verse. It's my personal understanding. So, he says, according to the Nirukti, the Vedic dictionary, we remember on the very first day we talked about Nirukti? Niranayatmaka Ukti. It's a Vedic dictionary. It's not just a dictionary. Sankhya means which describes everything in detail. And Sankhya refers to that philosophy which describes the real nature of the soul. The yoga involves controlling the senses. Arjuna's proposal not to fight was based on sense gratification. Forgetting his prime duty, he wanted to cease fighting because he thought that by not killing his relatives and kinsmen, he would be happier than by enjoying the kingdom after conquering his cousins and brothers, the sons of the Dhritarashtra. In both ways, the basic principle were for sense gratification. Happiness derived from conquering them and happiness derived by seeing kinsmen alive are both bases of personal sense gratification. Even at the sacrifice of wisdom and duty. Krishna therefore wanted to explain Arjuna that by killing the body of his grandfather, he would not be killing the proper soul. And he explained that all individual persons, including the Lord himself, are eternal individuals. They are individuals in the past, individuals in the present, and they will continue to remain individuals in the future. Because all of us individually, individual souls eternally. We simply change our bodily dress in different manners. But actually, we keep our individuality even after liberation from bondage of material dress. An analytical study of soul and body has been very graphically explained by Krishna. And this descriptive knowledge of soul and body from different angles of vision has been described here as Sankhya. In the terms of Niruti Dictionary, this Sankhya has nothing to do with the Sankhya philosophy of atheistic Kapila. Very powerful line. Because all the commentaries, I beg my pardon to those Vaishnavas belonging to some Madhva and some Sri Vaishnavas who call themselves scholars, they erred in thinking that Krishna is speaking the atheistic Sankhya. I don't want to name them, but they are very famous. Because of the scholarship, they did not respect their own Acharya. There are some commentators, not old, influenced by the British. When they wrote something on the Bhagavad Gita, some essence of Bhagavad Gita and all these things, and they put Urdhva Pundra, and they put Vaishnava Tilak, and Avramanuja, and Madhva, and they accepted. Like in the Sankhya Karikavali, the same thing Krishna has written here. But Prabhupada has clearly told, this Sankhya Yoga in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita has got nothing to do with the Sankhya mentioned in this six systems of philosophy. The atheistic Sankhya has got nothing to do with what Sankhya Krishna is speaking here. Many people, rather everybody, every edition of Bhagavad Gita, they err in this particular point. You should make a note of that. Even to the extent of I just mentioned that there are some who are influenced with Western philosophers and they think they are followers of Ramanuja, followers of Madhva. When they wrote something on this particular verse and particular thing, they say, as Ishvara Krishna says, it is supported here by Krishna. Oh, what is this? Who is authority? Ishvara Krishna is authority. Ishvara Krishna is the name of a person who wrote one commentary on the atheistic Sankhya. His name is Ishvara Krishna. And it is so happened, now some people say, same Krishna came as Ishvara Krishna. Just imagine. There are so many confusions. There is not so much of confusion in Nyaya and Vaisheshika because anyhow, it's atoms and all, it's too gross for subtle minds to accept. But Sankhya creates more confusion. Because as soon as somebody says to you, you see, atoms are the source of everything. What is atom and all? This is not Vedic. This is not really philosophy. This is not meant to be discussed. The thing comes, you may reject it. But when it comes to Sankhya, very, very subtle. Very, very subtle. So we should be very, very careful. There are so many books on Sankhya. And there are so many books on Bhagavad Gita. They just think the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the same as atheistic Kapila. But Srila Prabhupada clearly says, this Sankhya has nothing to do with, words are very powerful, nothing to do. It is not just different. Prabhupada could have written, this Sankhya is different from what other Sankhya, what atheistic Kapila Sankhya. The word used by Prabhupada is nothing to do. One thing
if you really notice, Prabhupada's English translation, commentary on Bhagavad Gita, is non-different from any Sanskrit word. The English which he has used here is non-different from the Sanskrit language. Because many years back, one devotee came and asked me, Prabhuji, I don't know Sanskrit. I told him, Prabhupada wrote in English. Because in the class, I just talked about English language meant for Malaychas and all these things. And then it was Prabhupada wrote the Bhagavad Gita in English. But Prabhupada's English is actually Sanskrit. Because the phrases which he has coined, even the greatest of the English scholars could not even imagine that such phrases could exist. Such, like conditioned soul, part and parcel. Never in the history of English language these words were used. Infinitesimal. These are coined specifically to make this language as equivalent to that of Sanskrit. Because we may say English is not a proper language to express the highest philosophy. Somebody may argue, but Prabhupada's English is at that level. It is not English. It is Shabda Brahman. Shabda Brahman doesn't have language. Just imagine. He could have used this word. It is different. It is not the word which is used here. He used the word has nothing to do. Going further. This Sankhya has nothing to do with the Sankhya philosophy of the atheistic Kapila. Long before the imposter Kapila Sankhya, the Sankhya philosophy was expounded in Srimad Bhagavatam by true Kapila, the incarnation Lord Kapila, who explained it to his mother Devayuti. It is clearly explained by him that Purusha, or the Supreme Lord, is active and that he creates looking over Prakriti. This is accepted in the Vedas and in the Gita. The description in the Vedas indicate that Lord glanced over Prakriti or nature and impregnated it with atomic individual souls. Sa ikshata. That is a verse in the Upanishads. All these individuals are working in the material world for sense gratification. And under the spell of material energy, they are thinking of being enjoyers. This mentality is dragged to the last point of liberation when the living entity wants to become one with God. This is the last snare of Maya, our sense gratificatory illusion. And it is only after many, many births of such sense gratificatory activities that a great soul surrenders unto Vasudev, Lord Krishna, thereby fulfilling the search after ultimate truth. After Arjuna, you remember when there's a small lecture given by Prabhupada, which used to be there in before the Hare Krishna mantra starts. In that, he gives everything about the Hare Krishna mantra. Even in a song book, you have the purport to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, if somebody says the entire Bhagavad Gita, just give in sum and substance. This purport is the best commentary which you can give. Arjuna has already accepted Krishna as his spiritual master by surrendering himself unto him. Shishyasteham shajimam tvam prapanam. Consequently, Krishna will now tell him about the working process in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. In other words, the practice of devotional service only for sense gratification of the Lord. This Buddhi Yoga is clearly explained in chapter 10, 10th verse, as being direct communion with the Lord, who is sitting as Paramatma in everybody's heart. We all know the Dhami Buddhi Yogam Tamirama Upayantite Tesham Satyuktanam. But such communion does not take place without devotional service. One who is therefore situated in devotional and transcendental loving service to the Lord, or in other words, in Krishna consciousness, attains the stage of Buddhi Yoga by the grace of the Lord. The Lord says, therefore, that only those who are always engaged in devotional service or transcendental love, does he award pure devotional, pure knowledge of devotion in love. In that way, the devotee can reach him easily in the ever blissful kingdom of God. Thus, the Buddhi Yoga mentioned in this verse is devotional service to the Lord, and Sankhya Yoga mentioned herein has nothing to do with the atheistic Sankhya enunciated by imposter Kapila. One should not therefore misunderstand that Sankhya Yoga mentioned herein has any connection with atheistic Sankhya. The third time Prabhupada is repeating this point. Third time. Nor
did the philosophy have any influence during that time? Nor would Lord Krishna care to mention such godless philosophy, philosophical speculation. Real Sankhya is described by Lord Kapila and Srimad Bhagavatam. But, another bomb here, just see. Even that Sankhya has nothing to do with the current topic here. That means you have three Sankhyas. Okay. Here, Sankhya means analytical description of body and soul. Lord Krishna made analytical description of soul just to bring Arjuna to the point of Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, Lord Krishna Sankhya and Lord Kapila Sankhya as described in Bhagavatam are one and the same. Again, Prabhupada changes the stance. Just two sentences back he told, it is different. Now he says they are one and the same. Just maintain all this, we will discuss this thing later gradually. They are all Bhakti Yoga. Lord Krishna said, therefore, that only less intelligent class of men make a distinction between Sankhya and Yoga. Sankhya Yoga, Pratakbala, Pravadantina Pandita. Yesterday I quoted this verse, if you remember. Of course, atheistic Sankhya Yoga has nothing to do with Bhakti Yoga. Yet, unintelligent class claims the atheistic Sankhya is referred in the Bhagavad. Again, the fourth time is mentioning. Unintelligent class again claims this. Why Prabhupada is mentioning again? Because he knows this is the biggest problem in all the commentaries of Bhagavad Gita. One should therefore understand that the Buddhi Yoga means to work in Krishna consciousness in full bliss and knowledge of devotional service. One who works for the satisfaction of the Lord only, however difficult such work may be, is working under the principles of Buddhi Yoga and finds himself always in transcendental bliss. By such transcendental engagement, one achieves all transcendental understanding automatically by the grace of the Lord. And thus, his liberation is complete in itself. Without his making extraneous endeavor to acquire knowledge, there is much difference between the work in Krishna consciousness and the fruitive work, especially in the matters of sense gratification, for achieving results in terms of family or material happiness. Buddhi Yoga is therefore transcendental quality of work that we perform. Okay. So, now, we have this point that Krishna is mentioning here, Prabhupada mentions here in this purport, that there are how many Sankhyas? Three. Devayuti Kapila Sankhya, Krishna Sankhya, and Atheisticam, Asuri Kapila, Atheistic Kapila Sankhya. There are three Sankhyas. Now, what is the difference? Let me tell you in a nutshell. Devayuti Kapila Sankhya is pure devotional service. Krishna Sankhya is Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And atheistic Sankhya is just Jnana, not Yoga, just knowledge. Knowledge of the interaction of matter and spirit, that's all. So, the interaction of matter and spirit, if somebody wants to know, he can study atheistic Kapila Sankhya, no problem. Interaction of matter and spirit. So, this is the fundamental difference between these three. First, Devayuti Kapila's Sankhya is pure devotional service. And Krishna Sankhya is to the extent of bringing one to the level of pure devotional service. So that is why that is also devotion. Prabhupada says in one of the purports, Ekam Sankhyam cha Yogam cha, like watering the root of the tree and then, finding the root of the tree. So finding the root of the tree, that is Krishna Sankhya. And nobody will come to the root of the tree, nobody will come to devotional service by reading atheistic Kapila Sankhya. But if somebody studies Krishna Sankhya, second chapter, he will come to devotion. In one place, Prabhupada says, just knowing matter, difference between body and soul is not enough. But knowing that is bringing you to the root so that you can water the root. And without trying to know Krishna Sankhya, somebody tries to water, he will think every root is same, every god is same, everything is same. So that is why Krishna Sankhya, in one sense, though Prabhupada says in one place that it is not enough, but it is necessary absolutely to come to the point of devotional service. That is why there are so many verses in Bhagavad Gita, but when I used to read Bhagavad Gita before I joined ISKCON, about 3-4 times, but whenever I studied these verses, I liked them the most. These verses, 11 to 30, 40 verses. They are very, very wonderful, because that will bring a person very, very close to pure devotional service and makes a person fixed up in devotional service. Okay. Since you are not doing Bhakti Shastri, I will not give a complete class on this. When I do Bhakti Shastri, I take this verse for 2 classes. This verse. 2 classes. So, coming back to this. So, any doubts or confusions regarding these 3 kinds of Sankhyas? And Prabhupada says that Krishna Sankhya and Devadi Sankhya, at one place he says they are different. Why they are different? Because one is pure devotional service, other is Jnana Yoga or Jnana Mishra Bhakti Yoga. And at some sense, both are same because both are bhakti. Both are bhakti because pure devotional service is also devotion. And Jnana Mishra Bhakti is also bhakti. So in this way, both are one at the same time different. So now, after knowing, we are very much clear, there is atheistic Sankhya, there is Krishna Sankhya, and there is Devita Kapila Sankhya. Now, today's class is unfortunately not on Krishna's or Devita Kapila Sankhya. Unfortunately, it is on atheistic Sankhya. But what to do? this is what is supposed to do. As you are told, Prabhupada says in one of the purports on lust, he says that lust is an enemy. Lust is an enemy. Vidyeham yeram yaha vairinam. He says this is enemy. And where does the enemy stay? Now Krishna gives the strategic points where the enemy stay. So you should know enemy, where does he stay, how, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses. It's an important aspect. Now, if atheistic Kapila is your enemy, then you should know his strength and weaknesses. If you know his strength and weaknesses, and your strength, then you know how to defeat that person. So that is what we are going to do. Okay? Before we do that, many people ask this question. What is the pramana? What is the proof that there are 2 Kapilas? One Devati Kapila and another atheistic Kapila. The biggest confusion for this question is, all the scholars have this, is atheistic Kapila's name is Kapila. Devati Kapila's name is also Kapila. Atheistic Kapila's philosophy is also Sankhya. Devati Kapila's philosophy is also Sankhya. Atheistic Kapila had a disciple named Asuri, and this Devyuti Kapila also had a disciple named Asuri. Asuri. A-S-U-R-I. Asuri. Asuri. So now, it is very natural for anybody to think both are same. Names are same. Disciples are same. And philosophy is same. But Shvetashvatara Upanishad, chapter 5, text number 2. Very nice words. Let us repeat this verse. Please repeat after me. Yo yo ni mo ni yo yo ni yo ni madhishtatye ko Vishwani rupani yonischa sarva Rishim prasutam kapilam yastamagre I'm very weak in reading this diacritics. Gyaner? Jananer. Gyaner vibhartir jayamanam cha pashet. So this verse talks about Kapila. Kapilam. It is talking about Devayuti Kapila. We know Devayuti Kapila is Supreme Lord Himself, isn't it? So He is glorified in the Svetashruta Upanishad. Yo means one who. Yonim Madishthati. Yonim means every living entity or all the species. Adishthati means he is staying. He is Adishthata. He is the controller. Bhartha, Bhokta, Maheshwara, Paramatma, Chapyutto, Dehespin, Purushaparaha. He is a super soul in every species. And he is Ekaha. He is one person. There is no secondary to him. Advaita, Machyutamanadi, Vanantarupam, Advaita. Vishwani Rupani Yonischa Sarva. And he is the Yoni. Means what? He is the source. Yoni means source. He is Yonischa Sarva. He is a source for everything. Including the entire material manifestation. Vishwani Rupani. Vishwani means all the entire worlds. And all the forms we find. And who is he? Rishim Prasutam Kapilam. Who is he? Rishim Prasutam. Rishim. Who is that Rishi? From whom he was born? Kardama. From there he was born. Rishim Prasutam Kapilam. Yatam Agre. He did it when? Though he was born, manifested as Kapila. In the beginning, that is what he manifested the entire universe, Tamagre. Jana bir bibarti. So, in the entire manifestation, what you find here, it is only because of his, he did it in the beginning of the creation. Now, how can I see him? Jayamanam cha pashyet. Jayamanam cha pashyet means, if you tell, Jai Kapila ki jai ho, Krishna ki jai ho, by saying Jai Jai Kar, means glorifying, by glorifying the Supreme Lord, you can see Him. So, the Supreme Lord who manifested the entire world in the beginning, He can be seen with your eyes by Jayamanam Chapashe, by glorifying Him. This is what Svetashruta Upanishad says about Kapila. So, definitely, even the followers of atheistic Kapila Sankhya will not accept or do not accept that the atheistic Kapila is God. One of the reasons is they don't accept God at all. Because if they accept Kapila is God, then they are having a flaw because they are not accepting their guru. Because their guru says there is no God, the followers say you are God. Guru is confused. And most of the cases is the case, this is the problem. Actually, there is one so-called sadhu. Sadhu over it is maybe. He was preaching atheism in Tamil Nadu. And he had many followers. After some time, all these followers started calling him God. Then he was confused. Right? I'm telling there is no God and they are calling me God. And he wrote in his book before he left his body, I am telling there is no God and they are calling me God. So I have failed in my mission. And there is one more atheist, his own chela. How many of you have been in Srirangam? You see, just in front of the temple, there is some stupid, some idiotic person. Just next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's footprints. Fine. It is said, no God, no God, no God. You don't read all these things anyhow. Because you just go to Srirangam to have darshan of Ranganath. So, it is there. Because full atheism, what is his name? Adar? Anyone in Tamil Nadu? He is, huh? Not Adar, this be his name, Periyar. His name is Periyar. He is the atheist, very hardcore atheist. And governments accept him as their guru, all the government. And that is why they wanted to make all the temples of Tamil Nadu, Sri Ranga, including Sri Ranga, government offices. Because they feel very big. So why God, let us have some pujari who can do the worship in some small place. We can make them into government offices. In front of that Sri Rangam temple gate, Periyar's photo is this. Not photo, it is a full, image, what do you call it, diorama kind of thing they made. And they have written, no God, no God, no God. Accepting God is your weakness. His writings. So, in front of Sri Rangam temple, that's what I do. His disciple. His guru told, I failed in my mission. So he took up this mission. No God, no God, no God. They are all these atheistic Sankhyas tell us. So, definitely, this is one of the proofs. And even, there is a verse in the Shvetashvara Upanishad that says, it doesn't mention the name of the atheistic Kapila, but he says that there are some who use the name Sankhya but prove and then say that there is no God. I could not really search out that verse. I'm just searching for that verse in the Upanishad, but it is there. Okay. So there is an indication of two kinds of Kapilas in the Shvetashvara Upanishad. Okay, let's go further. Sankhya, the non-theistic dualism, that is the name by which the Western philosophers understand this as. The non-theistic dualism. And given some commentaries of Sankhya. Sankhya Karika by Ishwara Krishna, most famous. You will have this book in every South Indian's house. I had this book in our house. Because like nobody read that book. I still remember. It still was a small book, just about a few verses only. Ishwara Krishna Sankhya Karika. That is according to those so-called scholars in Bhagavad Gita, when they take a class on second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, they say, if you want further explanation, read Ishwara Krishna Sankhya Karika. Krishna himself has came as Ishwara Krishna. And then he wrote this Sankhya Karika. One thing is sure, those devotees, we are all mostly, all these devotees, when we join our movement or read Prabhupada books, once we are in this movement, we read Prabhupada books, we are not contaminated with all the kinds of so-called philosophies, or so many things. In one sense, Prabhupada saved us from all kinds of philosophies because he has given enough books for us for our whole lifetime. Even our whole lifetime is not enough to read those books. So they're like, there's so many innumerable. If you just go to Indological Society or if you go to some Banaras University and see those books, so much of literature just to mislead you on the name of philosophy, on the name of Veda. So one of this is Sankhya Karikavali. Karikavali, it is written as Karikavali. And Gaudapada's Bhashya, Vachaspati Mishra's Tattva Kaumudi, and Vijnana Bhikshu's Sankhya Pravachana Bhashya and Mathara Vritti. Anyway. But most famous is this Sankhya Karikavali. Others are not so famous. Going further, the Sankhya theory of cause and effect. As Nyaya talks so much elaborate details about Pramana, Vaisheshika talks about Prameya. Sankhya, 70-80% Sankhya, talks about cause and effect theory. Hetubir madvinischitaihi, cause and effect. They go to a long extent to discuss about cause and effect. So now, we'll have a very clear-cut idea about these things which are spoken about. Sat Karyavada and Nasat Karyavada. Yesterday I just mentioned about it. Now we'll clearly know, because Sankhyaites, they go to a long extent of analyzing what is these two things are. What is Satkaryavada and Asatkaryavada? Now, Satkaryavada, the effect exists in its cause prior to its production or manifestation. Sankhya philosophy accepts this Satkaryavada view of causation. Now, yesterday we understood that how Nyaya Vaisheshikas, what they do? They accept Asatkaryavada or Arambhavada. The next one is Asatkaryavada accepts effect does not exist in the cause prior to manifestation. This is called Arambhavada, which means the doctrine of origin of effects. So, Asatkaryavada and Arambhavada. Now, Sat means what? Sat means there is something eternal. So, Sankhyaites have advanced to that level. They say, before the creation, there was something. What is that thing? And we'll come to know later. But, Nyaya Vaisheshikas, they say, Asatkaryavada. Before Karya or Kriya. Here Kriya, in any place in Kriya, in the philosophical terminology, in cause and effect, it refers to creation. Karya or Kriya, it refers to creation. Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Karunyam Tat Kriya. He says, Kriya here refers to the creation of the world. And the Lord created this world because of Karunya, because of His mercy, because of compassion. So generally, this word Kriya refers to creation. Because that is the only Kriya the Lord does. And others are all Leela. Even creation is also Leela. But this is like a Leela. People see it as Karya. Anyway, that point we'll talk later. Going this within this aspect, Satkaryavada. Why it is called Satkaryavada? Because they accept something eternal. Sat means eternal. Nyaya Vaisheshikas, even though they say soul and body are eternal, they are only eternal from the time of creation and to the time of destruction. That's all. In that sense, they accept eternity. So when the word eternity is used by people, it is not the same. When Nyaya Vaisheshikas talks eternity, it is not the same. When Shankara says Maya, it is different from when Vyasa says Maya, when Madhva says Maya. Understanding of Shankara's Maya is bizarre. It's like totally different. So, even though we don't accept Gautama's philosophy, but what Gautama told and Vaisheshika's Kannada told is, you should know the meaning of the word very nicely. That we accept. Isn't it? So, the meaning of the words has to be known properly. If we don't know the meaning of the words properly, then we may commit a lot of mistakes. Isn't it? But one thing has to, that is why the Bhashya named on Vaisheshikas, the Bhashya is Padartha Dharma Sangraha. Isn't it? Padartha Dharma. Padartha means the meaning of the pada, the word. Now, should I use Karta? It's Balram himself. Okay, I can use this. Okay, what is this?
Cover.
Huh?
Cover.
It is cover.
Yeah.
Okay, what is this? What is this? So, anyway, I'll not talk too much about Vaisheshika. So now you're doing different words for this, isn't it? In this way, Padartha has given something, some contribution to us. One is logic, the other one is you should know the meaning of the word properly. If you don't know the meaning of the word properly, like yesterday I told, if somebody says, today is appearance day of our Simha Guru. Very famous example, you can quote among devotees to see how misunderstanding this can go. Padartha. Here we? Yeah. Satkarivada and Asatkarivada. Now, Asatkarivada is also known as Arambhavada because it has got a beginning. Now, the Sankhyas have advanced now. From Nyayavaisheshika, what is advancement? The advancement is they accept, there is something eternal. At least they have come up to this point. That is why one advancement is there. Now, this Satkaryavada is of two kinds. Satkaryavada means there is something eternal. And from that eternal, this world has come. This world has come from that eternal thing. And two ways this world can come from the eternal thing. One way is the actual transformation. Other is known as the virtual transformation. The virtual transformation is known as Vivartavada. Actual transformation is known as Parinamavada. Virtual transformation. What is the meaning of the word virtual? Anybody has an idea? Virtual means actually it is not there, but you feel it is there. It is illusory. Yes, imaginary. Like the example of rope and snake. When you are walking on the road, you find a rope, it is dark, so you think it is a snake. The rope has not become the snake, but you think the snake is there, so the snake's existence is only virtual. So, virtual transformation is known as Vivartavada. Cause into an effect is merely apparent. Or in other words, it is only virtual. This word virtual is a very famous word these days. Like virtual dynamics we have. Suppose somebody is trying to learn to be a pilot. So instead of giving a plane to him, he'll crash. They'll send him to one room where the virtual effects of you flying is there. Isn't it? It's called, what is it called? I forgot the name of that. Simulation. Simulator, isn't it? Simulators. So even the ship is also there. The captains are given experience that he is driving on he's taking the ship and some ship is coming and all these things they give. It's simulation. Like in the computer is also a simulation. Whatever you see, as if that you are there, and 3D effect, these are all virtual. This shows how the whole world is making people mayavadis because they don't give anything real. It's all virtual. And people take now pleasure in virtual things, not in real things. Children don't go to play. In real mud they don't touch, real adventures they don't have. We have these children. In our childhood, we never had TVs, we never had video. So we used to play in mud, jump, adventure. If you want to a real adventure, then you have to climb up the tree, jump into the lake. And even if you have to fight, we fight with two friends who would fight. Now, because of too much of materialism, last year of Mayavad, because Mayavad is used as Vivartavada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first thing told you are Vivartavadis. Where is Vivarta? Tell me. If everything is virtual, what you are speaking is also virtual. Now the same pleasure-seeking mentality is there in the mind of the children. So what they give everything in a virtual effect. So now he's going and fighting, doing that, everything he feels that, okay, now actually it's not there. Now they show somebody is running, he feels I am running. So actual running is not there. Isn't it? So the whole world has become a virtual world.
it itself is not the real place for us to stay. So, in this world we are so much illusioned, but this, what these days is happening is the illusion within illusion. Yeah, illusion within illusion. Such a... Even there are virtual marriages these days. Virtual marriages. That means they just come on the internet and then get married. Now I accept, okay, the father blesses, now you are both are married. The virtual marriage. So people want to get the pleasure of getting married. So they don't, nobody is getting married. So they are virtual marriages. Such a horrible thing. Virtual marriage. So it's just to give you a feeling of what actually is. Anyhow, Vivartavada. I just spoke all these things so that the word virtual and Vivarta gets together in our mind. And we're going to use this word Vivartavada and Parinamavada so much in when it comes to Vedanta. And now, other one is Parinamavada. Parinamavada means actual transformation is there. Actual transformation is there. It is not virtual. Actually it happens. This is what is accepted by the Sankhya philosophy. In this way, in one way, we are also Parinamavadis, Vaishnavas. Now, the modern scholars, another problem with them. They cannot distinguish between the Parinamavada of Vaishnava philosophy and Parinamavada of Sankhya. Parinamavada of Vaishnava philosophy and Parinamavada of Sankhya. Our Parinama is Shakti Parinama. We are Shakti Parinamavadis. But Sankhyas, they are just Parinamavadis. What transforms, only God knows. So we cannot give these Parinamavadis. But we are, our philosophy is known as Shakti Parinamavada. I'll explain what is Shakti Parinamavada when it comes to Vedanta. Actually, these are some terms when one should know. If you go to some real good Vedantic school or some sadhu who is very scholar, they will ask you, you should give your identity in two ways. Of course, our identity is the, our identity is I'm servant of my guru and my guru belongs to this sampradaya. When you say, I belong to this guru and I'm disciple of this guru and our guru, we belong to this sampradaya, and they say, oh, this sampradaya, what is the philosophy of this sampradaya? And what is the panth of the sampradaya? They'll ask these two questions. This is the identity of the sampradaya in Vedantic circles. One is known as, what is your darshana, what is your philosophy? And what is your pantha? Pantha. Pantha means path. Now the answer which we are supposed to give is, we generally say, achintya beda abheda tattva. That is tattva. That is not darshana. Our darshana is Shakti Parinamavada. Our pantha is Vairagya pantha. That is why the Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yoga. Our pantha is Vairagya. This is our introduction. As soon as you say Vairagya pantha and Parinama, then immediately they pay obeisance to you, because Shakti Parinama is considered the topmost of all the philosophical schools. And Vairagya pantha is the topmost pantha. Just imagine taking a bow, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling for lifetime. It is not that, okay, ye mahine ka vrat kar raha hoon. It is not just 1 month vrata, it is whole life. Commitment for a life is not a joke. It's not a joke. Tell me which sampradaya, where people do this kind of commitment? Nobody does this. So our initiation is the highest, greatest. Even though there are so many tapasvis and so many mahamandaleshwas and all, they don't do many things as a commitment for their life. They take up certain things and then do it for some time and then relax. There are some yogis who just take commitment only during the winter season and then do severe tapasya. After that, okay, chalta hai sab. But commitment for life, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Satatam kirtayanto maham yatantasya drudavrata. And those who take dhravrata, they are Vairagya Pantis. For lifetime, I will not do.
That kind of commitment. It is like getting married and then say, for lifetimes I'll serve you, wives would say. The husband would say, for a lifetime I'll take care of you. This kind of commitment is a very serious commitment. That is why marriage is considered a very serious thing in anybody, important thing in everybody's life. Other things like a contract. You join a company, 3 years, I'll work for you 3 years, and afterward I'll do something else. That is very easy to do. And that's not a very important thing. That's not a very serious thing, isn't it? Other things are all asuchivrata. And those who belong to the Vairagya Pantha, they take dhidavrata. The difference between dhidavrata and asuchivrata, both are vratas. Asuchivrata is only for a time period. And if you see this, the black dress they wear, you know, the Ayappa people, 1 month they don't even eat food cooked by their own mother because she's a woman. Just because she's a woman, they want to be, those I don't want to see them. Even mother. No smriti talks that you should not see your mother, you should not eat from your mother. Even a sannyasi can see and eat from his mother. One person whom a sannyasi can see, one woman whom he can meet, one woman who can eat from his mother. Even the great smritis talk about it. Even these ayappas, they say, no, we don't want to see what kind of... And after 1 month, they just have this darshan, so-called darshan of ayappa, Swami Hai Sharanam. Immediately, they come to the train, they open the bottles of liquor and eat, drink. Asuchi vrata. Okay, coming back to our point. So, parinam vada. This is what is accepted by them as... Our parinama and Sankhya parinama, Sankhya's parinama is different. Sankhya's parinama is transformation happens of prakriti, but our parinama is shakti parinama. What they mean is material nature transforms, material energy transforms. That's all. Prakriti transforms, potency transforms. Now going further, there are 5 basic arguments why the Sankhyaites accept this Parinamvada of the Satkaryavada branch. Now, Asat Karanat, the first reason is this, states that the effect exists in this material cause before its production, because no one can produce an effect from a material cause in which the effect does not exist. For example, no one can turn the color blue into color yellow. No one can anyone produce milk from chair, because yellow doesn't exist in blue and chair doesn't exist in milk. So now they give the example that if you go to one person and ask him, give me 100 rupees, he can only give when he has it. Prabhupada's example. If I don't have it, how can I give? So, if you are the cause of the effect of I getting 100 rupees, that can only happen when you have it. Isn't it? Like Prabhupada uses the example, specifically with Mayavadi philosophers, they say that God doesn't have form. Okay, if God doesn't have form, how did you get form? You say God gave form to you. And then he says God doesn't have form. How is it possible? And he used the example, and a person can give something to you when he has something. He has that thing, isn't it? So this is the first argument they give. That is, the cause should be... we accept some part of it, not everything of it. That I will come later. Now, the second argument is this. Upadana karana. Upadana grahanat. Which states that because there is an invariable relationship between cause and effect, material cause can produce only that effect which is casually related. Only milk can produce yogurt, because milk alone is materially yogurt, related to yogurt. So they say, okay, if you say that the cause need not have the effect in it, so then one cause should give all kinds of effect. But it is not true. If there is one cause, and in the cause there is no symptoms of effect in that, and it is the cause of all the effects, But this is not true in this world. You find you will get milk only from cow, not from chair. Isn't it? So there is a specific cause for a specific effect. That is known as upadana. Therefore, an effect must already exist in the cause before it is produced. There are subtle differences. Going further. Now, going further. Sarva sambhava bhavat. State that there is a fixed rule for the production or manifestation of things. A certain thing can be produced only by a certain thing. It cannot be produced just by anything and everywhere. This impossibility proves that there is effect exists within the cause. The same thing in a different way, that's all. And shaktasya asaktasya karana states that an effect exists in its cause in an unmanifest form before it is produced. This is the case because only a potent cause can produce a desired effect. Now they say every cause should be potent. If the cause is not potent, how can it produce? The potentiality of cause cannot, however, be related to effect if the effect does not exist in a particular cause in the same form. So he draws a very, very intricate relationship between the cause and effect. He says in different ways that how the effect should be there in the cause in some way or the other, like a seed and a tree. You put the seed, though the tree has come, but potentially the seed has a tree. You may not be able to see the tree in the... Somebody may argue, oh, now you say that the cause should be there in the effect. Where is the tree in the seed? And he says, the tree need not be there in the seed, but it is potentially there in the seed. Isn't it? That is what is the four. Shaktasya asaktasya karanat. Shaktasya means shakti, potential. It should be a potential thing. Next, karana bhava state that if the effect does not exist in the cause, then which was non-existent could be coming into existence out of nothing. Yesterday we discussed this point. This is how the Nyaya Vaisheshikara defeated. They say that if the effect is not in the cause, then from nothingness, everything existence should come. From non-existence, can existence will come. So this is cannot be understood. And they give the example of how can, if you say non-existence gives to existence, if the effect is not in the cause, it is like saying the son of a barren woman became the king of the empire. The son of a barren woman became the king of the empire. See what examples they give. Don't think them to be very ordinary. The son of a barren woman. And they give. So he decorated his house with the lotuses from the sky. Akasha pushpayate means Akasha pushpa means it is imaginary. It is not there. And how can he decorate his house with the flowers of the sky? Isn't it? So in these two, they defeat the Nyaya Vaisheshika, the Sankhya Karikavali. The examples are from Ishvara Krishna Sankhya Karikavali. He defeats these Nyaya Vaisheshikas with these two examples. Nyaya Vaisheshika's theory is like Akasha Pushpayate, he says. With just one word, of course, these are all explanations. The sutras are like this. Nyaya Vaisheshikatvat Akasha Pushpayate means Nyaya Vaisheshika philosopher's theory is like the flowers in the sky. That means I decorate my house with the flowers from the sky. There are no flowers from the sky. Where is the question of any decoration? Isn't it? Saying that this world came from atoms which doesn't have form is like that. Okay. Summarizing the entire thing, I just wrote one line. Sankhya philosophers hold that no one can convert non-existence into existence, nor existence be converted into non-existence. This is the sum and substance of Sankhya philosophy. We also say this, but with a different sense. That is why we should be very, very careful. As I have told, people mistake Sankhya philosophy with Vaishnava philosophy, both are same. because there are so many similar things he talks, but we are totally different. Similar does not mean same. Similar does not mean same. So, Sankhya philosophy is also Satkarivada. Ours is also Satkarivada. Sankhya philosophy is also Parinamvada. Ours is also Parinamvada. Similar, but not same. In this sense, similar, because the words are same, that's all. Okay, next. This is a chapter. There are four chapters in Sankhya Sutras.
Could you explain similar but not same?
Similar but not same. You have hair on the head, you have hair on the knees. Knee is also round, head is also round. But the difference is there is a brain inside that head. There is no brain inside the knee. Isn't it? This is one of the nyayas. I forgot the name of the nyaya. Like Prabhupada uses Nagna Matruka Naya. Like that, there is a huge list. Huge list. In that, one of the nyaya is this. And knowing that is very, very wonderful. If you can, you want, because something which is very subtle, you can explain with that. Nagna Matruka Nyaya. What is the meaning of that? Okay, as people say, Prabhuji, this devotee, 25 years back, he was drinking alcohol. So what? Nagna Matruka Nyaya. Your mother was naked 40 years back. So, 40 years back, she was naked. A small baby. Now she has grown up. That doesn't mean she is naked now. Isn't it? So, like that, this nyaya, small apparitions Prabhupada used. And so many like that. I'm not getting those things. Prabhupada used many. Kunduga naya. Ardha kukut naya. These things are there. There are many like that. One of the nyayas talk about this. They say that you think they are similar, isn't it? Similarity means the knee is also round, isn't it? It's round. And some people have a lot of hair on the knee. It has also got hair in it. So your head is also round. And there's hair on top of it. So both are similar. No, not same. Similar. Both are similar, but the point is, you just open the head, there's a brain inside. And here there's no brain.
But now,
in India, people say, if somebody is not able to understand or is doing something foolish, you say, you got your brain in the knee or what? It comes from that nyaya. Yeah, isn't it? It is similar. So it seems to be similar. It looks similar, but not the same.
What is
that difference? That is what the difference. There is a difference.
What is that?
Between the Vaishnavas and Sankhya. Okay, you want to know the difference then? So the difference, your question was, what is the difference between similarity and same? That I answered. I thought you were asking about the difference between similarity and same. That is why I gave this example. So the difference between Sankhya and Vaishnava philosophy, the fundamental difference is Sankhyas don't accept God and we accept God. You put God, Krishna, in the atheistic Kapila Sankhya, almost same, almost. You know, it's not same, Krishna will do rectify everything properly. But fundamentally, Ishvara na Siddhe, this is one of the sutras, he says, Ishvara na siddhe, according to his commentary, is not required. Not required. Many commentaries of Sankhya, they don't talk about God at all. Nyayavaisheshika, they talk about some God. But Nyayavaisheshika's Sankhya, they don't talk about it. So when they were forced by many arguments, later recent scholars on Sankhya, they told God is there, but we don't require him. Later commentaries. Means, because if you say God is not there, many questions are coming. They are not able to answer. No, it's okay, we'll take God, but actually, no, not required. That will come to know later. You are just in the beginning. I'm going very carefully this because this is a subject which is very much there in our books, isn't it? Sankhya, Sankhya comes so many times. I'd say that's a nice question. Because they accept Veda. They quote from Veda. They claim that we are Vedic. In the first day itself, I mentioned this word, there's a line in one of the notes that says, they are categorized, they are accepted, or they claim to be Vedic. And Vyasa, the first thing which he says in the Vedanta Sutra, second chapter, first pada is, Sankhyaites are not Vedic. Today evening we are going to discuss that thing. Vyasa clearly says, because of this, the Sankhyaites are not Vedic. Second chapter, first pada. First pada. In Vedanta Sutras, yesterday I told about V.S. First pada. Verses starting from one to... Yesterday we did from, fifth or sixth or something like that. Before that is Sankhya. That is the second part, the second pada. In the first pada, the verses before, in three verses, he has told they are non-Vedic. He has proved them to be non-Vedic. He'll do it in the afternoon. What was your question? Categorizes it. So you quote from Veda, you think you are Vedic. Now in India, if somebody speaks Sanskrit, they think he's a big scholar, isn't it? You don't know, he's speaking all slang, he's giving Gali in Sanskrit, who knows? In India, if somebody speaks Sanskrit, they think he's speaking Veda. Maybe, like there are slangs in Persian language, slangs in English, Sanskrit, slangs in Sanskrit also. Isn't it? So, somebody speaks Sanskrit, that doesn't mean he's Vedic. But people understand him to be Vedic. Isn't it? So, go further. Next.
In the Sanskrit of Bharati, they learn spoken Sanskrit and they make up words for fan, for toothbrush, for machines. They make up words. So that people can talk modern talks with the Sanskrit language.
What is use?
Because they say in Sanskrit you can make words.
You can make any word.
Make.
And it's too long.
Even for computer, for TV, for mobile, you have Sanskrit words. Yeah, they make up words.
And these were not there when Sanskrit was spoken. You can make up anything in language. It's like, why? Why go to all this? Why learn these things? You can just say any of your language, you know. Of course, this is another debate which is going on in our society. Not a society as a big scale. There's one devotee. I don't want to name the devotee, proper disciple, all respect to him. He says everybody in ISKCON, they should learn Sanskrit, to speak Sanskrit. Not required. That doesn't mean you should not learn Sanskrit. You should learn Sanskrit only the purpose if to understand Acharya's commentary or something like that. Actually, not required. If you want to really learn, not for speaking, not required. If you try to use Sanskrit for speaking, it is like using something like a nice, wonderful pen to scratch your head. With the pen, you should write nice philosophy. With the pen, you can use the pen to scratch your head also. Bring water, Prabhu, how are you? Why use Sanskrit for it? Use English. People, at least 10 people can understand. Use your own mother tongue. 10 people understand. You don't have to go through the hardships of just learning Sanskrit so that I can converse. Not required. Okay, now I was talking about Sankhya Sutras. There are four chapters. First chapter talks about Prakriti. Second chapter talks about Purusha. Third chapter talks about they coming together. And fourth chapter talks about how they separate. Isn't it? So stupid. This Purusha, Prakriti, this Purusha, they come together, they separate. Four chapters. Now, there's a whole description of Prakriti. What is Prakriti? Let us see. Prakriti's fundamental nature of Prakriti is it is unconscious. And it is active. Prakriti is unconscious but active. Purusha is conscious but inactive. If you know this, you don't have to read two chapters. The essence of the two chapters is this. The first chapter's essence is Prakriti is unconscious but active. And the essence of the second chapter is what? Purusha is conscious but inactive. So when they come together, what happens? That is the third chapter. And the essence of the third chapter is, now Purusha understands Prakriti is troubling me. Now how to get out? That is the fourth chapter. To put it very simple, one chapter is describing the bride, other the bridegroom. When they get married, there's a description of their marriage life, and the fourth chapter is divorce. And that is what's happening in America and many places, even in India too now. Each one describes each other. That is the love letters of these two, boy and the girl. And they come together and they think of separating. So, sum and substance of Sankhya is this. Okay. Let's go to the subject. Ka should be subtler then. Now, how he proves that Saprakriti exists. The fundamental thing which he says about Prakriti is Nyaya Vaisheshikas accept only atom as the cause of everything, as a source of everything, and this world is made up of atoms. Now, Sankhya Kapila, he raises one question. The question is mind made up of atoms? In this way, the scientists, they are just discarded, they are defeated. All modern science, you call all of the scientists and tell me, ask them a question. You're talking so much of atoms. Do you have intelligence? They say yes. Is your intelligence made up of atom? Is your mind made up of atom? Is the thought made up of atom? There is no answer. They say, if at all they want to say something, they say that these things are only some wave functions. That is what they say. It is only in the within the nerves of the brain, what happens is there is difference in charge, and positive negative charge. In this way, there is sorrow, sometimes pleasure. Srila Sodas Maharaj in his scientific book of Krishna Consciousness, he says like, when Mr. A is in pain, he says to B, my A, C fibers are vibrating. He has got a very nice way of presenting.
Sir,
So in this way, in one sense, the Sankhyites, they are very good in defeating this. They say that how the mind, intelligence and ahankara cannot be made up of atoms. So in Sankhya philosophy, this ultimate cause is prakriti. That is why there should be something which is subtle called prakriti. And they give five reasons. I think Kapila was very much attached to this five. Wherever he goes, he gives five reasons. He gives five reasons why prakriti exists. Let us see what these five reasons are. It is accepted that all objects of the world are limited and dependent on something else. So there must be an unlimited and independent cause of their existence, that is prakriti. You see, similar, no? Isn't it? We also say, we find there is dependency there in this world. The Bhagavatam talks to establish the existence of God using this principle. Second canto, 10th chapter, when it explains the ashraya tattva, yo ashraya ashrayaha, satma sva ashraya ashrayaha, explaining the 10 subject matters, Sukadeva Sutta Goswami says that there is interdependency found in this world about adi atma, adi bhuta, and adi daiva. And he says adi atma is the individual self, and adi daiva is the controlling demigods, and adibhuta is the instrument, sense instruments are there. Now there is interdependency among them, and Prabhupada gives the example of sun there. He says the eyes are there, the sun is there, and the world is there. Now there is interdependency between the sun, the eyes, and and the world, the objects you are seeing. Now if there is no sun, how, even though you have eyes and the world is there, you cannot see. Even though the sun is there, eyes are there, if the world is not there, what is the use of sun and eyes? What you are going to see? If sun is there and your eyes are there, if there is no objects of this world, what is the use of it? If the objects of the world are there and the sun is there, eyes are not there, what is the use of it? So these three are interdependent. Very, very nicely explained that. Interdependency. Adhyatma, adhibhuta, adhideva. And then later on he says, Krishna is beyond this interdependency. Because he is sa atma sva ashraya ashrayaha. Second canto, 10th chapter. If you get time after the course, or during the course also, you memorize those verses in this 10th canto, second canto, 10th chapter. At least the first 10-15 verses, it talks about these 10 subject matters. There this point comes. No, he is taking that. He says, we find in this world everything is dependent. Prabhupada used this argument many places. Can anybody say anybody is independent? But the problem with the Sankhyas is, they say, the thing which everything depends on is Prakriti, not Krishna. Of course, Prakriti depends on Krishna, that they don't know. So there must be some unlimited and independent cause of their existence. If atoms are the source of this world, and the world is made up of atoms, how is it so that the atoms can be independent? How is it so the atoms are unlimited? That is why there should be something more than atoms, that is Prakriti. All the objects of this world possess a common characteristics. They are capable of producing pleasure, pain, indifference. Therefore, something must exist as a cause of the universe that possesses the characteristics of this world. So in this world, there are so many characteristics you find, and there should be something in the source which has these characteristics. That is why Prakriti is a cause. Of course, we don't use this pleasure pain, saying that this pleasure pain is there, so Krishna is the cause of everything, so pleasure and pain should be also in Krishna. We don't say that directly. We also talk about how, if there are qualities and characteristics in this world, if you find there is a vishesha in this world, there should be vishesha in the Supreme Lord, isn't it? That is why Ramanuja Acharya establishes this point. That is why his philosophy begins with this point, that how Krishna has got qualities. The Lord has qualities. The Lord is itself, himself is not qualities. Lord has it. He is a possessor of qualities. On his famous essay on Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma by Ramanuja. Very famous essay. By reading which Yamunacharya's mood, his heart mood, and he told that we have to get him somehow. We had to get Ramanuja because he is going to be the leader of our sampradaya. Going next. All the objects of this world have a potential to produce something else or other. Now he says, in this world we find every object has potential in this world to produce something. We find there is production going on. Man is producing something, this is producing something, a dog is producing something. Now don't you think that the Prakriti should be able to produce something? There should be some ability within that, which instantly contains the entire universe. That is Prakriti. So in the process of evolution, an effect arises from the cause, and in dissolution it reabsorbs and divides into origin. The particular object of experience must therefore arise from certain cause, which must in turn have arisen from a certain cause, and so on till one reaches a cause, ultimate cause. Sarva karana karanam, they also talk about it, says you find there is a cause for everything. In turn, the cause is an effect of something, and that cause is an effect of something. In this way, there is every effect has a cause. But this goes to the point of an ultimate cause. There should be an ultimate cause. And somebody says, no, it goes on like this ad infinitum. For every effect there is a cause, and that cause in turn is the effect of the previous cause, and that cause is an effect of a previous cause. It goes on, there is no end to it. Then it is a fallacy. Fallacy of infinite regression. That is the fifth point which I say. This is a fallacy of infinite regression. Many people get into this fallacy of infinite regression. And this nyaya in Vedic terminology is known as a dog trying to catch its tail. How many of you seen this? Have seen. Goes round and round and round, round until I throw a stone on it. I used to do it a lot. Throw a stone, then it goes. It just goes on round, 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 round. So, based on this infinite regression, the whole world is running. Sansara means going round and round and round. It's a fact that there's one person who wrote a book, Where Life Comes From. And after writing a huge book, at the end he told, Life came from another planet. Okay, now somebody asks a question. I have a question. Where did life come from to that planet? He writes another book saying, it came from another planet to that planet. It goes on, infinite regression. Very easy to learn, isn't it? You see, it's not of this world. It came from another planet. Oh, where did life come from to that planet? It came from another planet. So many Nobel Prizes you can get. This is called infinite regression. Is in logic, it has to be identified. In Nyaya, one of the abhashas is this thing. Some people who say, why do you like him? Because he likes me. Why does he like you? Because I like him. It's like this. This is also infinite regression. It just goes on. Generally, it happens with the children. When you ask them some question, say, what is the meaning of this? They say this. What is the meaning of that? They say that. Isn't it? That's called infinite regression. There is no, you get into the loop, and then there's actually a psychological problem. When many people get into this psychological problem, actually when people have such psychological problems only, then only they give rise to these philosophies. Okay, then what is this Prakriti made up of? And what is it not? Prakriti is not, number one, it is not atomic substance. Nyaya Vaishikas accept, oh no, Prakriti is also made up of atoms. No, it is not. Number two, it is not a conscious principle behind the material substance. No, they don't even accept that Prakriti is conscious. And neither, according to the Buddhists, everything is mind. So the Buddhists, some people who have... Sankhya became so famous because of its very, very elaborate understanding of this, how the interactions of the material world. What happened is, philosophers belonging to different schools, they started misinterpreting Sankhya philosophy. It is not that only Bhagavad Gita is misinterpreted. Even Sankhya philosophy is also misinterpreted. So, Ishwar Krishna Sankhya, Karikavali, clearly states, Prakriti is not these three things addressing those who try to misinterpret and then term up. No, Prakriti is all. See, Sankhya is same as Vaisheshika and Nyaya. Only thing, instead of atom, he has used the word Prakriti, that's all. So, Ishwar Krishna Sankhya Karikavali clearly states, no. Neither it is conscious principle. And some, they say, Buddhist. Because there are some who, or the modern scholars at that time, not modern means not just modern, at that time, there are some, when Buddhism was so prevalent, they wanted to bring all, when people were Sankhyates in India, the Sankhya means it's like, it's a household thing. Even simple household ladies, they knew Sankhya like anything. Yeah, this Sankhya philosophy was so prevalent, they used to use it every in household affairs. We know the story of Chaitanya, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat on mud. Yeah. Isn't it? See, Chaitanya's mother, she knew. She's a simple household lady, isn't it? She is telling these things to Chaitanya, isn't it? So, when the Buddhists, they were preaching in India after Ashoka embraced Buddhism, they found it so difficult. Because every simple lady, household lady, she is a philosopher in this country. How can they preach if they don't quote something very philosophical? So what they did was, they started taking everything from Sankhya and then mixed Buddhism in it. That is why Ishwari Krishna clearly says that mind. Because Buddhism accepts mind is everything. So he had to say this point. What is the point? Mind is Prakriti, is not the mind. That I just mentioned these things so that we should know how some of the history things we should know.
This is comes all from Atisthi Kapila.
Yeah, Atisthi Kapila. Atisthi Kapila gave the sutras, but Sankhya Karikavali, as I mentioned, I mean repeating his name again and again, the most of the notes, most of the things here and there are taken by Sankhya Karikavali, by Ishwara Krishna. Kapila, he just wrote the sutras. We cannot understand anything by the sutras. Sankarikala is a commentary. We can understand from the commentary. See, Nyaya Vaisheshikas, their sutras are not very difficult. Because it's logic and he explained it also in his own sutras. But Kapila, he just gave sutras, which are so, like, sutras are so subtle, like Ishware Rasiddhe, Nasiddhe. So, how do you understand this Nasiddhe? Nasiddhe means doesn't exist? No, it doesn't mean nothing exists. Does it mean he's not prude? Not that. Does it mean he doesn't... Actually, he means to say it's not required.
He's not looking for the commentaries of his sutras.
Yeah, commentary.
By this...
Ishwara Krishna Sankhya Karikavali. Now, going further... Prakriti literally means exceptional ability. Ability means power, potency. That is why we also know in our scriptures, in our these things, that Prakriti is potency or ability to do something, that is known as potency, which creates this intricate world. Prakriti is characterized by three gunas. Very good. Now we come to the point. What is this Prakriti made up of? And Krishna talks about it. We have this verse. I quoted that verse also. I just selected few verses in the Bhagavad Gita. In which is one verse we can see. That is 14.5 in the notes. Sattvam rajastama iti prakriti sambhavan tan nivaddanti mahavahu dehe dehinam avyayam. In that verse, Krishna says, prakriti is made up of what? Material nature is made up of sattva, rajastama. You're all Bhaktishastra students, you all be knowing more about sattva, rajastama. Now we enter into whatever Sankhya, Karikavali or Sankhya teachers talk about sattva, rajastama, we accept it as it is. Because they just go on talking about sattva, rajastama, sattva, rajastama. Because now it is their field now, the material world, sattva, rajastama, and how they are interacting, they talk about it like anything. So that is why Krishna also repeated this. He said, sattva rajastama iti gunan prakriti sambhavan. In one sense, as Nyaya Vaisheshikas, Gautama and Kanada, they saw the atom but could not see Krishna inside the atom. In the same way, Kapila could see the material nature but not Krishna beyond the material nature. So the description of atom by Nyaya Vaisheshikas, well and good, we accept. It's true. Not acceptance. It is there. The wall is made up of atoms. This is made up of atom. That the Bhagavatam talks about the atom. Dvayanu, Triyanu, Trishanu, Hexatom, like that. So it is there. It is not wrong. But conclusion is wrong. But some parts they are speaking, it's not wrong. In the same way, as much as Nyaya Vaisheshikas could only see atom but not Krishna, Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham, in the same way they could not see Krishna who is inside the atom, the Sankhites or Kapila, Nyarusuri Kapila, he could not see Krishna behind Prakriti, who is controlling Prakriti. They could not see Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Adhyakshena, from in my Adhyakshata, Adi Aksha. Aksha means eyes, Adi means under. Under my eyes, under Prabhupada says superintendence. That is the exact word for Adhyaksha, superintendence. Adhyaksha is in present, superintendence. So under my superintendence, this Prakriti functions. That they could not see. So Prakriti is characterized by three gunas, sattva, rajastama. The guna may be translated as quality or attribute of Prakriti. This is the important to note that three gunas are not taken merely as surface aspects of Prakriti, material nature. They are rather the intrinsic nature of Prakriti. The balanced combination of sattva, rajastama, tamas is Prakriti. And thus cannot be Prakriti's external attributes or qualities. They are called gunas or ropes. Now here, Krishna says, sattvam rajastama iti gunan prakriti sambhavan. This prakriti is not having sattva rajastama as its qualities. Now, we have sattva rajastama as our quality, but prakriti itself is made up of sattva rajastama. Now, when the sattva rajastama are in a neutral state, are in neutral state, they are not active, and that is called Prakriti, in the balanced state, neutral state. Now, the example given is that of a rope or a cloth. One can say that the rope is the name of three intertwined strands, but if we analyze the strand separately, he does not see the rope. In a similar way, if one analyzes the gunas separately, one will not apprehend Prakriti since it is balanced state of three gunas. So the qualities are because of the perception. No. Now here, he says it's like a rope. Now somebody may argue that there are three strands in the rope. But if you remove everything, then you don't find the rope. Isn't it? In the same way, when the sattva rajastama are in the balanced mode, actually, there is no Prakriti. Prakriti is made up of these three. Another example given is that of a cloth. The thread and the cloth. So the thread are intertwined like this, becomes a cloth. So actually it is thread. It is a thread which goes like this and all. But once they are in balanced state, it is called cloth. In the same way, Prakriti is actually non-different from the balanced state of gunas. Balanced state of gunas and Prakriti are non-different. Isn't it? That's how he explains it. The word Sambhavan is very important. Sambhavan means the Prakriti is made up of these three. Ultimately, actually gunas. Prakriti is just a name given to the state of the modes, balanced state of the modes. Now, here comes the problem. Okay, let us see what Sankhya's talk about. He says that qualities, what you see in this world, is actually not of that particular object. There are no qualities, there are only three qualities, there are only three gunas. For example, Rasgulla is sweet. When you say Rasgulla, Sankhya say, no, it's not sweet. And say, hey, it's sweet. Then they say, three things. It is sweet for a healthy person. It is bitter for a person who is having jaundice. And for a person who is not eating it, tasteless. Nothing to do, isn't it? So they have only three experiences. The Sankhya's say, in this world there are only three experiences. One is happiness, other is misery, other is neutrality. Neutrality. But we don't say so. Hladakari, tapakari, mishra. That is where our philosophy is. Sanatana Goswami Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Samvad. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion in Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, the association of this conditioned soul with matter gives rise to three kinds of experiences. Three kinds of experiences, ladakari, tapakari, mishra. Like a person who is being drowned in water. He gets king gives punishment. And he's sovereign. He comes out. And he comes out. And now he's going down. There is one experience. That is mishra. Mishra means mixed experiences. So, but in Sankhya's, they say neutral. That is where we are different from the Sankhya's. So in the entire existence, you have Radha, Tapa and Mishra. Confused state. Mishra means confused state, or like you don't know what is it pleasure, is it painful? One person asked me when I given the class on Chaitanya Charitamrita, teachings of Chaitanya based on this, Prabhuji, what is this mixed state? I told, when you are getting married. It's mixed state, you don't know what it is. Now, according to them, they say there are only three experiences. Also, they say that the quality, the origin, the Rasgulla or anything, it doesn't have quality of its own. It is only perception. It's only perception. Suppose somebody is sattvic, he likes sweet. Somebody is rajasic, he likes something. Somebody is samadhi, he likes something. There is one thing, it may be nice for somebody, it may not be nice for somebody. It may not be, somebody may not have concern for it at all. The example given by Ishwar Krishna Sangha Karikavali is that of a girl. A girl is giving happiness to the boy whom she is with. And the same girl is giving misery to a boy who likes her and who is that who could not get that girl. And the same girl is not giving anything or any concern for those who are not concerned with her. It's like a Hindi movie, something like that. There's a heroine who loves someone and then they are dancing. And there's one person, he loves that heroine and she is not able to get her and he's suffering. So this girl has become the cause of somebody's happiness and somebody's misery and unconcern for others. Ishwar Krishna gives the example like this. She says the world is full of perceptions only. According to sattva rajas tama, people are observing. So sattvic person sees in a particular way, rajasic person sees in a particular way, and tamasic person sees in a particular way. So the object in itself having qualities have no value, actually doesn't have any qualities, it is only sattva rajas tama. We don't agree that. Our philosophy doesn't agree that. Though it is true that everybody perceives the one thing in a particular way according to their modes, but that object in itself has some specific quality. And we are judging it according to our modes. That is our problem. That is not the problem of the object. Another thing is dance. So somebody is dancing. Somebody likes, somebody doesn't like. Somebody has nothing to do with that. Isn't it? There are some people who are in the auditorium watching Bharatanatyam. Though, and she is dancing very nicely. Those who know Bharatanatyam, they are appreciating, they are liking. Those who don't know, they are thinking, hey, when it's going to end? Isn't it? And then it's going to end. And those are outside the auditorium, they're anyway not concerned about it. But the fact is, she is dancing. So these are some of the examples which you can give. Like this microphone, for somebody, it may be the cause of misery. When is he going to end the class? For somebody, it may be cause of pleasure. Or somebody may be thinking, whether microphone is there or not there, I am in my world. In Bhagavatam classes, I give these examples. But the microphone is doing its job. It has got a particular quality, isn't it? So that these sankets don't accept it. If they accept, then they have to accept that Prakriti has qualities, that means God. Their God is Prakriti, it has qualities. So then they'll be having a problem now. So that is the reason they don't accept the intrinsic quality of a specific thing. The jada bedha. Srivad Madhvacharya, as the greatest physicist in the pre-Prabhupada times, has established jada bedha. Panchabedha Madhvacharya. I'll not talk about now, that is four sampradayas. Jada Bheda means, he even says, Kartal is Kartal. See, I can use this Kartal for as a paperweight, which is not supposed to be used it for, because Kartal is Kartal. And Kartal is Balaram, it's not paperweight. I can use it, Saparab. I can use it to, if I get angry on somebody, I can use it to beat, but Kartal is Kartal. But these Sankets, they are so much into goodness, passion, ignorance, that they just say, it is all, this whole world is just perceptions of people. Ultimately, when they get fed up with these perceptions, then the world ceases to exist for them. That is the last chapter, not now. That is a divorce. Chapter on divorce. Purusha means man, Prakriti means woman. So that is what it is. The entire description of man, woman, getting married and getting divorced. Easy way to memorize, understand Sankhya. Okay. You may be thinking, Nyaya Vaisheshika was not so interesting as much as Sankhya is because Nyaya too gross. Sankhya is a little bit subtle, so we are able to discuss so many things. How much you will discuss on scientists, atoms and all? So it was like too much yesterday. Now, going further, where are we? So, Rajas, Sattva and Tamas are underlying qualities from which the universe we perceive is derived. The three gunas can be inferred from the fact that all the features of the material world, external and internal, both physical elements and the mind, are formed to process capabilities of producing pleasure, pain and indifference, as I told just now. Pleasure, pain, indifference. Three kinds of experiences only. The same object may be pleasing to one person, painful to other person, and no concern for the third. The state in which the gunas are in their natural equilibrium is called prakriti, and their balance is disturbed, they are said to be vikriti, the heterogeneous state. Now, the disturbance of the homogeneous prakriti is known as vikriti. That comes later, that talk, how it gets disturbed and all. There is a constant interdependency and competition of the predominance of the modes of nature. Then they are talking so much of the gunas. The gunas are always changing or transforming into another. This occurs in two ways. That is, virupa parinama, change of heterogeneous states, and swarupa parinama, change into homogeneous states. So Krishna talks about it. Krishna is very clear in his Bhagavad Gita. When you treat this thing, you don't understand anything. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that, anyway, so there is one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 14th chapter. Rajas tamas chavibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata. Sattvam rajas tamas. Sattvam rajas tamas tata. Get the words. He talks about the competition of the... You have the Bhagavad Gita? Let's see. I had to open this computer again. I opened and tried to copy it. This happens when... 14 chapter... Rajastamas Chavibhuya Sattvam. 10th verse. 10th verse. The symptoms of old age. 14th chapter, 10th verse. Rajas tamas cha bibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata. Rajas sattvam tamas chaiva tamas sattvam rajas tata. This is the verse. Which he says, sometimes the mode of passion becomes predominant. That is, rajas tamas cha bibhuya. And defeating the mode of goodness, what happens? The passion becomes prominent. And sometimes the mode of goodness defeats passion. And other times the mode of ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy.
So he
did not defeat. The same thing Krishna has spoken. That is what I told. I did not say defeats. Krishna has told the same thing because he interaction of the modes. As for the discussion in the Sankhya about the interaction of the modes, it's very perfect. Because Sankhyas are meant, they're only talking about sattva-rajas-tama. I'll talk about it when it comes later. How they see the whole world is nothing but sattva-rajas-tama. What is the use of it? So I am different from it. That is how the process of liberation is. Their process of liberation is to contemplate that everything is nothing but sattva rajastama. You give anything to them, either you give a chapati or a computer or a woman or mother, father, you give a temple, you give even Krishna to them, they will break everybody into sattva rajastama and say, I am not sattva, I am not rajas, I am not tamas, so I should get out of these three.
This is their liberation.
It is their liberation. Breaking down everything into sattva rajastama. And Krishna even talks about that.
But we are telling you the prakriti also consists of sattva,
yeah.
Raja, guna and tamas.
Not we are telling. Krishna, that verse is there.
Yeah,
I quoted it.
Competition is between them going on.
Yeah, constantly going on. I'll tell you example. I'll give you example how the competition goes on.
What's the difference between
them? See, it is not that every time you should have a difference. Every time there is a difference, then they are atheistic, they are not considered for discussion at all. Suppose, for example, somebody comes and tells to our ISKCON temple president, I got nothing to do with you, I got a separate temple. No problem. I do. If somebody within ISKCON says I am ISKCON and does something wrong, then the temple president has concern. Isn't it? Now, why are we bothered about six systems of philosophies? It's because they say we are Vedic. Isn't it? And they are doing something Vedic, something non-Vedic. There's something which they say something similar, but not exactly same. That is why we are talking about all these things. You get the point? So not every time you just say, you are wrong. Like Shakti Parayan, he did, Parinam Vad we accept. But we don't accept the Parinam Vad which the Sankets accept. But Parinam Vad we accept. In the same way, the explanation given by the Sankets about the interaction of the modes, Krishna told that. Same. The same which is written here. What is it? Where is that? Sattva Rajastama are underlying qualities, and the word competition is there. Where is it? Yeah, here. There is a constant interdependency and competition for predominance. Is it written here? The same thing Krishna has told. I just use this verse to say that this thing Krishna has told in the Bhagavad Gita, so it becomes very close to us. In the 4th chapter, 10th verse. So when this verse comes, I give a very famous example in a Bhakti Shastri class. How the competition is going on. So, don't mind. Competition goes on. The example which I give may be a little bit offensive, but still, nice to. I'll just enact the example. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama. Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. And then, this is what happens. In every temple in the morning program, this is what happens. Let's talk truth. Isn't it? So, now the goodness is there. Existence means goodness. Sattva. Sattva means existence, it is goodness. Now goodness, you started. Chitta Dharma Namarjana is over and you started with goodness. Now this tamas attacks goodness. So, after goodness, passion doesn't come. It is the ignorance which comes. Now what pushes the ignorance? Somebody wakes you. And Prabhu, then what happens? Then passion comes. And goes on like this. So, passion takes predominance. The movement is like this. From, actually the movement is like this. The pushing mode is Rajas. Rajas pushes. So, Rajas pushes the tamas and occupies the position. And again, the Rajas pushes the tamas and puts Sattva in position. It is like a small round circular kind of thing. You have one yellow, red and blue. So this red one is active thing. Rajas is active. Sattva is existent. Tamas is sleeping. So now this red one pushes the black one. And the black one pushes the white one. Or the yellow one. And now this red one again pushes. In this way the pushing of the modes goes on constantly. So, what is the mode which comes after passion? Is ignorance. What is the mode which comes after goodness? Is ignorance. After ignorance, passion comes. And after goodness, ignorance comes. So, I may say, or you may say, somebody is very sattvic, immediately the tamas is waiting. Tamas is waiting. So to come from sattva to tamas, it just doesn't take much time. For that, if you have to come, you have to experience, you should come to South India and go and stay in a Brahmin's family. They do all the sattvic things in the morning, immediately tamasic. Immediately tamasic. They do Shaligram Puja, they worship, they talk about it. Immediately after that thing, they have their breakfast and start talking. You see, you know, God is there, but modern science, you cannot beat it. Then all tamasic activities start. They only talk things in mode of ignorance. Well, you need to come there. You can to see the clear distinction that how. You may preferably see everything is sattvic going on. They would get up early in the morning, do all the activities. As soon as the day starts, you will find they are only thinking, oh, my son I have to send into America. These are all just tamasic things. So, we find somebody is chanting goodness, the sleep overtakes. So in this way there is a competition. It goes on. And the Sankhyas, they are very, very expert in analyzing the modes. Very, very experts in this, how these modes are functioning, how everything is passion. They analyze everything according to mode, sattva, rajasthama. You give a situation, sattva, rajasthama. You give a newspaper, they see, oh, this is sattva, this is tamasic, this mixture, this is how it happened. And they can see, yesterday he was tamasic, this is what, that is why he spoke this. He was rajasic, that is why he spoke this. So they categorize everything as sattva, rajasthama. You give a chapati to them, for them it is sattva, rajasthama. Everything is sattva, rajasthama. How? Is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in other words. Analyzation of this world as sattva rajastama or the interaction of just the modes only is explained in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna here. What is that words? Yamat sanyayate kinchit. 13:27. Last words. Yamat sanyayate kinchit. Sattvam stavara jangavam kshetra kshetrajna sanyogat viddhi bharatarshabha. Now Krishna uses word kshetra kshetrajna. In other place he says purusha prakriti samyogat. Here he has used kshetra kshetrajna samyogat. Yavat, whatever you see in this world, my dear Arjuna, Sankhyas, they also say the same thing. Whatever you see in this world is nothing but combination of Purusha Prakriti. So the third chapter starts. Like Prabhupada said, whatever you see in this world is because the combination of man and woman. If there is no combination of man and woman, you will not find any building, you will not find any car, you will not find anything. Why the cities are coming? Why the big buildings are going on? If there are no women in this world, there is no combination of man and woman in this world, you will find everybody sitting under the tree, even not wearing kopins also. They would not even do that. Activity is because of passion. Because of passion. Samyoga. So they are very good in analyzing. And then to such an extent, they say that this whole world is nothing but mode of passion, goodness, passion, goodness. They divide it. If you give a cobra to them, they will divide it cobra. Passion, ignorance, ignorance. And their sadhana is so high that they just, even the cobra comes, they are not afraid of it. When the cobra bites, they don't die. Because they have analyzed, the cobra is mode of passion, goodness, passion, ignorance. Poison is goodness, passion, ignorance. And my body is goodness, passion, ignorance. I have got nothing to do with this. So further, the whole world, they divide into 24 elements. That comes later in our chapter, in our discussion. They divide the entire world into 24 elements. And then see this. In this way, they don't become disturbed. This undisturbed state of consciousness, by dividing this world into three modes, or seeing the world as nothing but pervaded by the three modes, is described by Krishna in other verses. Tattva vittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayo. What is the next line? Guna guneshu vartante itimatvana sajjate. They see, guna guneshu, it is nothing but the interaction of modes. And na sajjate, I have nothing to do with that. Some modes are interacting in some kind of modes, being influenced on some kinds of modes. So, where the soul has got to do with it? What the soul has got to do with it? To give you a more example, today the sweets did not come. Maybe it's a good... That's why I talk so much about rasgullas. I was dreaming of tomorrow's sweets maybe all night. So, for example, rasgulla. You put it in the mouth. Now, if you are a Sankhyate, if you are a devotee, you would say, oh, Krishna, Krishna Prasadar, Lovayat, all these things would say. But a Sankhyate would say this thing. Rasgulla is earth, water, fire, air, ether. Because from the earth grass came, from the grass the cow ate and gave the milk, and cow will not give the milk without drinking water. Swarth and water are there in the milk. So earth is milk is boiled with the fire, so fire is there in it. Earth, water, fire. And rasgulla is, when you break the rasgulla, because of the air, it becomes kind of a puff kind of thing. So you have air within it. And it is occupying space, so there is space. So there is sattvara, there is panchamahabhutas there. And anyhow, these panchamahabhutas, it is sweet. So rasgulla is drawn from milk, so it says it's actually goodness. And some sankets understand sweet is passion, but it is goodness. And now I am eating this rasgulla is being driven by the mode of goodness. And I like this rasgulla because my tongue is in mode of goodness. If the tongue is in mode of passion, he would not like rasgulla, he would like to eat some chaat. So he would not, he analyzes like this. So some kind of interaction of modes made rasgulla. Some kind of interaction modes made this tongue, and being influenced by some particular modes, there is some feeling. So where is the soul? So just see what a complicated mathematical equation they have to go through every time for self-realization. And devotee does it in a simple one stroke. Krishna vada dayamai sa prasada nilobai. And if Krishna doesn't give, it is your mercy, Krishna. Very simple. But sankets go to this all extent. There are some sankets. They are very much afraid of losing their analysis of understanding this world as goodness, passion, ignorance. If you give them a chapati, they burn it and eat it. They don't eat the chapati directly. How many of you have seen some sadhus who eat only burnt chapatis? I have seen. You have seen? They only eat burnt chapatis. Because one of the aspects of sadhana is to see the non-distinction between a burnt chapati and unburnt chapati. Because that is also modes, this is also modes. Sattva-rajastama, sattva-rajastama. And I have got nothing to do with it. It is burnt chapati or unburnt chapati. It is sattva-rajastama. I need to practice that. To see everything as sattva-rajastama. So in this way, sankhets, their sadhana is so... And there are some Siddha Sankets. They do this thing. And who are Siddha in this line, they practice some yoga, and then they could even see that I don't have to eat a chapati also. What they do is, you get to give a chapati to them, they just throw it in there. And this chapati, it becomes sattva-rajastama, and it mixes with the totality of sattva-rajastama. And they take prana from that sattva-rajastama, totality of sattva-rajastama. There are some who live like that. Yeah. It's amazing, but what is the use? Okay, so much about goodness, passion, ignorance. There are some devotees in Mira Road temple. When I started about sattva-rajastama, they leave the class. They're so thing. Not because they don't like, because they know that I don't end it. Going further. So they say there are two kinds of interdependence and competition. Interdependence is also there between the modes. No mode or no guna, sattva, rajas, sattvamai, can independently exist. Nobody can say, I am having only rajaguna, no tamaguna and tattvaguna. Even the cockroach has some sattva in it. Some. Otherwise it doesn't function. It has to be there. So... Virupa Parinama and Swarupa Parinama, the two kinds of transformations. Transformations which happen within each other, that is known as, when the manifestation world takes place, that is known as Virupa Parinama. And Swarupa Parinama is transformation which happens within themselves. That is, the other kind of transformations, gunas, refers to the state in which the gunas change internally without disturbing each other. This happens when Prakriti is in its original state. That is, balanced state. This type of change occurs in the balanced state of Prakriti. Now, the dissolution of the world. Did I talk about the elements? Oh, that comes after. Okay, that comes later in the chapter. So the dissolution of the world, it happens when the Prakriti unmanifests itself, Sattva Rajasthama, it goes back. We'll not talk about it. This is actually related to the fourth chapter, that we'll talk about it later, because though it's something is spoken about it. The position of the modes while during dissolution, that is what is spoken. Because the modes, all the objects dissolve into the modes, and the modes dissolve into Prakriti. That is what I explained. Because the subject is the modes, so that particular thing has come up. Now, the next chapter, the second chapter, is what? Now, the Prakriti is described. So, the boy has written a love letter to his girlfriend. So, that is the first chapter. The girlfriend is talking about Purusha now. Purusha means... Here, Purusha doesn't mean Adi Purusha, Krishna. Here, for the Sankhya, it's Purusha means the soul, the living entity, the soul. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has ascribed this word Purusha to soul. In the entire 13th chapter, he used this word Purusha for soul. Purusha Prakriti Stoi. Bhungte praktir jayir gunan karanam guna sangasya sadasadhyoni janmashu. So there, Purusha Prakritistha. So this is Adama Purusha or Jiva Purusha, which Krishna is talking about. Because only Jiva Purusha can be Prakritistha. Prakritistha means what? Engrossed in matter. So Krishna, if it is this word Purusha refers to Krishna, it cannot be Prakritistha, because Krishna cannot be engrossed in matter. He comes, Shujami. But Prakritistha can only be used to Adama Purusha, means the lower Purusha or the Jiva Purusha. Okay. Now, when Sankhya philosophy, when the word Purusha is used, don't confuse with Krishna. It is living entity, we. As was previously stated, Sankhya is a dualistic philosophy that acknowledges two kinds of reality, the unconscious principle Prakriti and conscious Purusha. Each body contains a self, but the self is different from body, senses, mind and intelligence. Okay, this is a small introduction. Sankhya offers five arguments. Again, 5K. 5 arguments to prove existence of Purusha. 5 kinds of prove existence of soul. Due to the Bhagavad Gita course, you have these 5 kinds of proof. Maybe it's coming from here. We have, it's a very famous course, Journey of Self-Discovery. In Bombay we take many plates. Now it's become a very famous course. 7 days course, Journey of Self-Discovery. In which one day is the science of soul. In which we say 5 kinds of proof of existence of soul. Same thing here. Similar thing. You want to make devotees around the world in a very... fast way, do this course, take this course every place. It's a very nice course. Almost 90% of the congregation developed in Bombay is based on this course, 7 days course. It's a very famous course. Developed originally in Jew, Chapariti people and Jew is doing, and Jumeir Road is also doing. All objects of the world are meant to be utilized by or someone other than themselves. All things that exist simply serve as a means to an end of other beings. Chair is not made for the chair itself, nor the house is made for the house itself. Therefore, there must be something quite different and distinct from the object. Object cannot enjoy their own existence, nor can one material object be utilized and enjoyed by another material object. Therefore, there must be some enjoyed of the objects. That enjoys, utilizes the object of the world is conscious Purusha. So the first argument is, okay, Prakriti is there, this world is there. For whom this world is there? It is for whom? So in this way, Sankhyas are a little bit evolved in this thing, because the Nyayavaisheshikas, they don't talk about the intentionality. What is the intention? What is the purpose? No purpose. Asatyam apratishtam jagadahur anishwaram. They are actually mostly Nyayavaisheshikas. Sankhyas also come in, but at least they say there is an intention. There is a purpose behind this. His purpose is for somebody. Who is that somebody? That must be Purusha. That is the soul. Next. It cannot be said that all objects are meant for Prakriti, because Prakriti is unconscious. You may say, no, everything belongs to Prakriti. No. Prakriti is unconscious. So if it is unconscious, how can it enjoy? It is the balance of the gunas of which the objects of the world is composed. Prakriti is also what? It is nothing but the balance of the gunas. How can the balance of the gunas enjoy the imbalance of the gunas? That is the argument here. The proprietor utilizes the world object must consequently be the conscious being. See, enjoyment can only happen when the person has consciousness. So they have understood this thing, consciousness, very nicely. Because the consciousness is not very talked about very perfectly or by Nyayavaisheshikas. But these they have spoken consciousness very nicely. And next, all objects of the external world, including mind, sense, intelligence, are themselves unconscious. They cannot function without guidance. So somebody has to guide. They cannot function without guidance from the intelligent principles, and they must be controlled and directed by it in order to achieve anything and realize them. That conscious self would guide the operation of Prakriti and manifestation in spiritual. Non-intelligent Prakriti and all its evolutes, which are by nature pleasurable, painful or neutral, again came, pleasurable, painful, neutral, have no meaning if they are not experienced by some intelligent force. Okay, something is there. What is the meaning if somebody is not experiencing it? That experiencer is Purusha. If the human being wants to attain liberation and be free from pain and misery, but whatever is derived from Prakriti being pain and misery, if there is nothing different from Prakriti and its evolutes, then how is liberation attainable? When we talk liberation, who is getting liberated? If somebody is experiencing pain, he is getting liberated from what? That is the question. Otherwise, if the liberation is not there, the sayings of the sages, the scriptures would have no value. Therefore, there must be some conscious principles to strive for liberation. That principle is Purusha, the self. Now, the Sankhyas clearly say, the individuality of the soul is accepted in the Sankhya philosophy. They are in one sense not like the Mayavadis. They are okay. Now, we also accept individuality, they also accept individuality. Now they say there are two reasons why the individuality has to be accepted. If there is one self-realized body, there is only one body, then they give a very nice logic. They say that if one soul dies, everybody should die. There is only one soul. And if somebody is blind, everybody should be blind. And if somebody goes to sleep, everybody should go to sleep. There is only one experiencer. Human beings are different from God and from animals and vegetables, life as well. But this distinction could not be true if God, human beings and birds, insects, plants all possess the same self. We find distinction in this world. We find the birds, we find different species. All these distinction prove that there should be a distinct soul in distinct bodies. Now comes a very major topic. The process of evolution of the universe, and this is quite similar but still not the same as the process of creation described in Bhagavatam, third canto, and many places in Bhagavatam. In the Bhakti Shastri, how many of you remember the chart of evolution? The chart in that book, Burijan Prabhu's book, at the end, the chart is mentioned about creation. Prakriti, Mahatattva, Ahankara, Sattvika, Rajasika, Tamasika. From Sattvika comes the mind, from Rajasik the senses and the sense things, or senses and 10 senses in the sense objects, and from the tamasika, the five panchamahabhutas, the chart. Once I had given an examination for the Bhaktivinoda students. I told them to memorize this chart and then write. So everybody thought, once all of a sudden they tried to get the papers and write. Only two could write, others could not write. I told them to make 18 copies of this chart. That's a homework. 18 copies and bring handwritten, not computer. It's a very nice chart to remember. So it is there. The whole Bhagavatam, practically a whole chapter is in that particular chart. It's a nice chart to get it into your consciousness, into your mind. So I am very poor in using these aids. But still, I'll try to give. All of you know the chart, or you want the chart to be given? I had to make it. That's a big effort. Huh? You did Bhakti Shastri? You're not done. How many of you have done Bhakti Shastri? So you all must be knowing chart. You must be having in your Bhakti Shastri notes.
This is, I don't know whether it's in Bhakti Shastri, mostly it's both in the Bhagavatam chart.
Acha, acha. But it is there in that book, isn't it? It is there in that book.
Those who have studied Bhagavatam.
This chart is explained when we talk, when we discuss the 13th chapter. This verse. The entire Sankhya, Krishna has summarized in two verses. 13th chapter, 6 and 7. Entire Sankhya philosophy of creation, of manifestation, this aspect of Sankhya, Krishna has summarized in 13th chapter, 6th and 7th verse. Yeah, I have given that in the printout. You see the notes. 6th and 7th. Mahabhutanyahankaro buddhiravyaktameva cha indriyani dashaikam cha panchachendriya gotara iccha desha sukam dukkam sangaja chetana dhriti etat kshetram samasena savikaram udahrutam etat kshetram samasena savikaram udahrutam. Two things. Samasena means summary. So in summary, I have told you two things. What are they? Number one is kshetra. Kshetra, this material world. What is this material world? Krishna has summarized. And savikaram, the second thing what he told, what are the interactions which happen within these things? That he has told in a very summarized way. Samasena savikaram udahrutam, I told this. So let us count. How many are there? Mahabhutani. Mahabhuta. What are the Mahabhutas? Pancha Mahabhutas. What are they? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Okay. Mahabhutani. Ahankara, 6th one. And then there is Buddhi. And there is Avyakta, unmanifest. Buddhi Avyakta, Evacha. Indriyani Rashaikamcha. Indriyani means what? Senses. How many are there? Dashaika means 11. Dasha plus 1. 11 senses are there. How many of you have 11 senses? 5 knowledge gaining, 5 working, and 1 mind. 11. Everybody has. Hey, Prabhuji, I had only 5 senses. Krishna does 11 senses. What happened to him? This is a question. Big question asked. Indriyani Dashaika, I never heard there 11 senses. 11 senses means 5 knowledge gaining senses, why working senses, and one mind. Indriyani Shekam Panchacha Indriyaj Gochara. Indriya Gochara means the sense objects. Object of the senses. That the tanmatras. What are they? Smell, taste,
touch,
form. Can, except Prashant Maharaj, can anybody tell in line? It's a big exercise. The proper sequence of the tanmatras. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. First one. Okay, accepted. Smell. Smell, okay. Start from smell. Next.
Taste.
Very good. Taste.
Touch.
Form. Very good.
Touch.
And sound. This is a sequence you should tell. Why? Because earth, water, fire, air, ether. For earth it is?
Smell.
Water it is? Taste. Fire it is? Form. Rupa. And then air it is?
Touch.
And then ether it is? So you should tell this in line. Otherwise, Sankhya, they will get angry. Sankhya, say, what is this you are telling? You should tell it because there is a particular procedure in which the world got manifested. If we don't tell this in proper line, Madhvacharya will become angry. Ishipad Madhvacharya defeated many philosophers and just of talking about how ether is the source of everything. Yes, yes.
Sequence begins with the sound.
You go from bottom to top or top to bottom. It's just an arrangement, that's all. Sequence begins from the sound only because ether manifests everything. So when you say earth, water, fire, air, ether, so it is just other. It's like a spring. You can give a conical spring. You just compress it, everything is one. Decompress it, becomes, you can see everything. But in the decompressed state, you find everything inside it. All the circular parts is within it. In this way, you find earth has everything. Has the quality of all four. Like Shanta Das, Sakya Vatsalya. Same principles apply. That I'll explain maybe in the second half in a little bit more detail. So, we are here. And I think I need to explain that chart. Because most of you seem to be a little bit confused about it. And Sankhyas, they talk about it a lot. So now, the process of evolution of the universe, Sankhyas, the entire world evolves in the interaction of Prakriti and Purusha. Now after discussing about Prakriti and Purusha, the third chapter goes. The third chapter of Sankhyas, now getting married now. After so much of love affair between them, now they're getting married. When they get married, the interaction happens between Prakriti and Purusha, then the world manifests. Now, in the second session, we start our class with why they interact. What is the reason they should interact? What the Sankhyas give? Actually, in the original Sankhya book by Kapila, there is no mention why they interact. But the question has to be answered. So the commentators have given some reasons why they interact. But they don't give. They interact because of Krishna. There is Krishna's hand. They don't accept it. That is the problem. Original Kapila commentator, he just kept quiet. Like Buddha kept quiet about God. If they ask a question, if you ask original commentator Kapila, why they interact, Prabhu? Why are they interacting? Is Prakriti and Purusha, what is the necessity? Who makes them to interact? What is the reason for their interaction? Who arranges for the interaction? Then they are forced to accept God. So instead of accepting God, they give five examples and five reasons. So, we talked about this, four examples, the four reasons they give. Four examples, how many examples are there? One, two, three, four, and five. Five examples they give to explain why they interact with the purpose. So we start with this. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll just make the chart because most of you seems to be a little bit confused about that thing. I'll try my best to make the chart. And then, it's a simple chart. It can be kept in your mind when in the computer I'll make in the afternoon time. Okay, Sankhya. Hare Krishna. Yes, ma'am.
So, this chart, they have the same chart except yeah. That the topic.
Yes, same chart. Same chart. And same chart, but there are so many commentaries that talks about different things. That is only minor. Somebody says, no, the senses come from sattva. Some people say, only mind comes from sattva. But it doesn't matter. Ultimately, there are 24. Plus one Krishna. If you remove Krishna, then atheistic Sankhya. If you add Krishna, theistic Sankhya. Hare Krishna.